in Snugborough, you only pay for the waste you bring. For waste disposal and skips, give us a call on 677.
The time is 5 o'clock. You're listening to Manx Radio. I am Dave Moore, and this is Update. Welcome to the programme. Half an hour of the latest news in the Isle of Man, plus sport, business and travel updates, along with the newsmakers in person, coming up. A UK business is claiming a lack of trade at the TT is one of the reasons it went into liquidation. Could the island's Manx National Insurance Fund coffers be empty within the next 20 years? And Manx Care's boss is defending the cost of healthcare in the island when compared to the UK. That's all coming up in the next half hour. But first of all, the update news headlines with Amy Griffiths. Fastamai.
Fastamai. The managing director of Scott Leathers is claiming a lack of trade at the TT is one of the reasons his company went into liquidation. The County Durham-based retailer stopped operating in the paddock at the grandstand when the event secured a partnership deal with another manufacturer. Jim Ed says he's proud of his association with the TT.
Money's come into it big time, and it's big money. That sort of sorts out the riders, because obviously they're getting paid a lot of money by these big companies. So, end of story.
Manx Radio has asked the Department for Enterprise to respond. The date by which the Manx National Insurance Fund is expected to run out has drawn closer. It had previously been predicted it could be exhausted by 2047. Treasury's Director of National Insurance, David Ireland, has been giving evidence to the Public Accounts Committee.
It's actually now moved the exhaustion date forward by 2 years, so we're now looking at 2045-46.
The CEO of Manx Care says the price we pay for healthcare here on the island can't be compared to the likes of England. Theresa Cope was asked why residents are paying more than 20% more per head of population for healthcare than in England, and yet waiting lists are sometimes twice as long.
There are certain things which sit within the costs of Manx Care that perhaps sit outside of the same healthcare costs and profiles for England.
Irish actor Eve Hewson has reportedly joined the cast of Amazon MGM Studios' upcoming film Isle of Man. The daughter of U2 lead singer Bono is set to star alongside Channing Tatum in the movie, which is based on the TT races. Turning to international news now, and US Vice President J.D. Vance is heading to Pakistan to lead peace talks with Iran. He's warned negotiating teams won't be receptive if Tehran chooses to play America. A tourist bus carrying British passengers has crashed in the Canary Islands. One person's died and 26 others are in hospital. And BAFTA's admitted weaknesses in its planning for the 2026 Film Awards back in February. A Tourette's campaigner's racial slur was broadcast, with organisers apologising to black and disabled communities. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Guramayu Amy. So, on to the weather. Cloudy, with outbreaks of rain. Light and patchy at first, then becoming more persistent and heavy at times later this evening. Moderate to fresh southerly winds will also steadily increase to become strong later on tonight, with a risk of touching gale force at first, before easing slightly to become a fresh to strong southwesterly as the rain clears later in the night. Tomorrow, sunny spells and scattered blustery showers, moving through rather quickly though on the strong southwest winds, which will increase to gale force in the evening. Best temperature tomorrow, 10 Celsius. Sunny spells and isolated showers on Sunday. Still quite windy at first, with strong southwest winds gradually easing throughout the day. Temperatures up to 11 Celsius.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate, or call 674-573. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
The managing director of Scott Leathers, Jim Aird, is claiming a lack of trade at the TT is one of the reasons his company went into liquidation. The County Durham-based retail company was wound down a few days ago. In recent years, the firm stopped operating in the paddock at the grandstand when the event secured a partnership deal with another manufacturer. During their heyday, the brand supplied race suits for riders such as Joey Dunlop and John McGuinness.
We were mainly retail, and one of our main sales pitches, if you like, was the Isle of Man, TT, and the Manx. And we also went to the NEC. They were all the three biggest shows that we'd done. To be quite honest, The Isle of Man started it off a couple of years ago saying that we don't want you. We're not going to have anybody behind the grandstand and we certainly don't want you. After 30 years, I felt that a little bit, aggrieved of that.
In that style, and, though, sorry, Jim, but did they say in that manner?
They just said there was no room. So we ended up going down to the charity shop 2 or 3 years ago, and that was okay. But I had a relationship with a lot of racers, a lot of riders up there, such as Joey Dunlop, John McGuinness, Bruce Anstey. They were all in our leathers. In fact, many of them were in our leathers. And to go down to a charity shop, it didn't really ring true. It wasn't correct, you know. We needed to be with the paddock.
It does seem, though, I mean, we're talking there, you're talking 6 weeks, effectively, in a 52-week year. And to seem that you do, it seems remarkable that you're reliant, really, on those 6 weeks and not what you can do the rest of the year.
Well, I did do the Manx, and I did do the NEC. And the thing is, the amount of orders that I got at these places lasted us for, like, 3 months at a time. So I didn't need to. I mean, we'd done a lot of other shows, smaller shows, but we did rely on the big shows for us to keep us going. The other part, of course, was the link between us and the racers. That's disappeared. And a lot of it was a big push from RST. They were the main sponsors, so they had to be looked after. And so they didn't want anybody there doing the same stuff or similar. If you go to the Isle of Man, you're getting a lot of riders all in one place, so you can do quite a bit of business. Or if you go to the NEC, it's the same thing. You know, you get a lot of people coming for suits or jackets or whatever it might be.
Do you have a feeling that maybe you've been abandoned a little by some of the riders as well? Because you mentioned the likes of John McGuinness. I know Bruce Anstey's no longer racing, but, you know, had riders stayed with Scott Leathers, then you wouldn't be in this predicament.
No, that's not true, because the thing is that riders have got a short life as well as anybody else. And then the other thing is, you could talk to Conor Cummins when he had his big accident on the mountain. He used to come to me and say, "Your suit saved my life." And he'll, if you asked him now, he'd probably say the same. But money's come into it big time, and it's big money. And that sort of sorts out the riders, because obviously they're getting paid a lot of money by these big companies. So, end of story.
Manx Radio has contacted the Department of Enterprise for comment. Treasury officials are warning the Manx National Insurance Fund could be empty within 20 years. They've previously told the Public Accounts Committee that the fund is now expected to be exhausted by 2047. A recent forecast shows a growing shortfall in contributions, meaning money will soon have to be withdrawn just to keep up with payments. However, the Director of National Insurance, David Ireland, says a closer look at pension data tells a different story. This report from John Moss.
Treasury Minister Chris Thomas was flanked by Chief Financial Officer Coldrick Randall and David Ireland, Director of National Insurance. First, Chris Thomas was asked if Manx Care had the tools to control their spending.
I've asked that question, and I've tried to work with the healthcare minister and with all others involved to try and understand what's gone wrong in the past. Mm-hmm. And when I read things like, you know, I fully agree with your sentiments around budgetary control and financial discipline, but I would also add that we must maintain confidence for now in the board of Manx Care as an arm's length body of the department to be given the space to deliver on this. So therefore, you know, what I'm suggesting is I think perhaps the tools were always there. Now there has to be the political will there, and I do think, you know, from what I've said, that's what the post-budget people heard, that I, you know, I've really got it in for making sure that the board steps up to the mark, because, you know, we're serious. The public purse in the Isle of Man can't being used, the majority of it, to pay for the healthcare system. You know, once we get over 50%, we're in a ridiculous situation, and we're getting quite close.
Cordrick Randall now. Are the current levels of supplies and services by government sustainable?
I don't think it is sustainable without some review of service levels, and if those and that again, is a judgment call. I guess it's how do you fund those services? Do you say whether there's a user pays approach to delivery of some services? Do you look at some of the subsidisation elements that are happening there, or do you say, well, it's a taxpayer delivered, therefore there needs to be more taxation drawn from the economy in one way or another?
Finally, David Ireland on that diminishing NI fund.
The latest report we have, obviously, is the 2022 Government Actuaries Report. And that forecasts that if we do nothing, basically the fund that underpins the operation of the scheme runs out in 2047-48. The government actually did some further modelling work for us, looking at some options. And when they did that, they actually took into account the significant increases there'd been in the state pension. And it's actually now moved the exhaustion date forward by 2 years. So we're now looking at an exhaustion date of 2045-46.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Manx Care's boss is defending the cost of Highland healthcare following claims residents are paying 20% more for a lesser service than those in England. CEO Theresa Cope was challenged on Manx Radio over why local waiting lists remain significantly longer despite the higher per head spend. She says the inherent cost of providing care on an island means they cannot be compared to the UK.
Do you accept that we in the Isle of Man are paying over 20% more per head of population for our health care than is paid in England, and yet we often have cruel waiting lists which are sometimes twice as long as theirs?
I don't recognise that number of 20% more than England. It's quite difficult to compare, and this is some of the work that Sir Jonathan Michaels did back in 2019. The Sir Jonathan Michaels report did suggest that healthcare costs were slightly higher, but that is sort of the economies of scale of delivering things in a small island setting. There is an acceptance that when you're delivering healthcare on an island, your costs are going to be higher. You don't have the economies of scale. You need all the lifelines and connectivity to England. And indeed, sometimes you can't do with just half of something. You need to make it sustainable. So we do recognise that there is an inherent cost associated with delivering care on an island that you wouldn't have in England, but equally the construct of England and the economies of scale are different.
So, okay. What was your specific point, Richard, about waiting lists?
Well, one of the things that strikes me is that a dog would be treated quicker than many on our waiting list, and that this causes a widespread discontent with the management of Manx Care.
I understand the debate on that. That is something which is fundamentally a government policy decision, which Manx Care is not able to sort of influence. It wouldn't be down to us to make that decision. But we do absolutely recognise that the waiting list positions across a number of our specialties aren't where we would want them to be.
That's the Chief Executive of Manx Care, Theresa Cope. Well, this all comes as the Treasury Minister warns the health provider that its annual request for multi-million pound funding increases must stop. Giving evidence to the Public Accounts Committee, Chris Thomas says a new strategy is needed.
I've asked that question and I've tried to work with the healthcare minister and with all others involved to try and understand what's gone wrong in the past. Mm-hmm. And when I read things like, you know, I fully agree with your sentiments around budgetary control and financial discipline, but I would also add that we must maintain confidence for now in the board of Manx Care as an arm's length body of the department to be given the space to deliver on this. You know, basically saying that you can't go and challenge the Manx Care board as yet. So, you know, looking back, it was
what
a very...
What was that you just cited, sorry?
What's that?
What was that thing you just cited?
Correspondence I've seen from the from the healthcare minister, you know, to the Treasury Minister, you know, just to say the time wasn't right to go and do these sorts of things. So, you know,
it's in 24.
So therefore, you know, what I'm suggesting is I think perhaps the tools were always there. Now there has to be the political will there, and I do think, you know, from what I've said, that's what the post-budget people heard, that I've really got it in for making sure that the board steps up to the mark, because, you know, we're serious. The public purse in the Isle of Man can't be used, the majority of it, to pay for the healthcare system. You know, once we get over 50%, we're in a ridiculous situation, and we're getting quite close to a huge amount of our resources going on healthcare provision.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
Let's start at sea. Everything looking good at present. However, it all goes a bit Pete Tong tomorrow. The 3 o'clock sailing to Liverpool, the Mananen, has already been cancelled. But keep an eye on what's happening with the steam packet. In terms of the airport, things at the moment are looking good. Everything's on time in terms of departures. And for arrivals, we have a slight delay for the Jet2.com flight from Geneva. Was due to land at 20 past 7. That's now showing as 7:45. Apart from that, everything else is on time.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
A presentation's taken place at the Grand National this afternoon commemorating the achievements of Isle of Man-based racehorse owner Trevor Hemmings. It was made by the Isle of Man Post Office, who've issued a set of stamps in his memory. He passed away in 2021. General Manager of Stamps and Coins, Maxine Cannon, says it was a fitting ceremony.
When we arrived at Aintree, the Jockey Club made us VIPs for the day. We have unlimited access so that we can get lots of pictures with our stamps, with John Joe O'Neill, Willie Mullins, Mick Fitzgerald, A.P. McCoy, or the list just goes on. And they were all part of the presentation, as was the Hemmings family. Catherine Revett led that group. The Jockey Club, Dick and White, accepted a frame on behalf of the Jockey Club. Pam Parker, who designed the stamps, and was assisted by Emma Cook of AGC Design and 572. She received a frame. And then the Injured Jockey Fund, of which the Hemmings family asked that the stamps should be in support of the Injured Jockeys Fund. They were the final recipient of framed sets of stamps. And in the gathering, there was Zara Tyndall, who won a silver on High Kingdom in the 2020 Olympics. A.P. McCoy, of course, and Grassock Racing, who did the photography. And we're very grateful to Richard Slee, who acted as our media rep on the day. And we've got a vast array of very special photographs. And to have Willie Mullins speak so fondly of Bala Briggs, he asked me to describe Bala Briggs' home and to share with him the beauty of Andreas on a July summer day, seeing the horses in retirement. Of course, Hedge Hunter was there too, with a backdrop of the Manx countryside, just got no better. He said, oh, I must come and see this wonderful scene.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Teenagers in Douglas are being given a £10,000 budget to launch their own community projects. It's part of a new youth council scheme designed to give students from Ballacameen, St Ninian's and UCM a direct voice in local politics. Council leader Devon Watson's backing the move, insisting the group won't just be a talking shop, but a genuine path into local government. Any proposals will still need the final go-ahead from the full board. Mr Watson's been speaking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
So there's two objectives. One is a sort of more concrete, real objective. So the actual users of our services, so if you're building a skate park, you're providing recreational facilities, these are people who can directly feed into that process. They can also host events, they can run events, they've got a budget and they're able to use this budget in the way that they see fit, as according to democratic processes, subject to executive committee approval. So essentially they get the ability to improve local services and they get the ability to really feed into decision making. Secondly, they also have the ability to hold us accountable. They can ask questions, they can arrange their own media releases, they have the ability to directly engage in the democratic process. This isn't a condescending talking shop that sometimes youth-led democratic initiatives can sometimes be. This is actually giving young people an element of they can directly engage with the system, work with the system, or challenge the system as the need arises. But in the broader sense, we want to see more people run for office. We want to see more young people engaged in local government. They have to live with the decisions that they make, and they have to live with the decisions far longer than the rest of us do. So it's really important that young people have a much stronger voice in how the democratic system works.
You've given them a budget of £10,000. How do you justify giving them that budget, and what do you expect them to do? And will you, the full council, have oversight on how they spend that?
That budget will come with complete oversight. So both the relevant committee, the executive committee and full council will have the ability to feed into that. And so will the general public. But secondly, I don't expect them to do anything with it. This is up to them. At the same time, there's no point in sitting but talking sharp if you don't give them actual resources, if you don't give them the ability to actually make change and make influence and do things.
The council will comprise 12 volunteers who are between 15 and 18 years of age and live in Douglas. They'll serve a one-year term with nominations expected to open in September, followed by elections in October, and they'll hold their first meeting in November. Let's just hope they don't spend all that money on sweets and pop. Only joking. You're listening to Manx Radio. This is Update. The Isle of Man is being told it must do more to support adults as the island marks Autism Acceptance Month. Jade Boylan and Matt Quine, who both live with the conditions, say while a 10-year strategy is underway to make the island more inclusive, critical gaps remain. They're warning there's currently no clear pathway for adults seeking a diagnosis.
So awareness is definitely improving, and I think that's why things like April Autism Awareness Acceptance Month are so important, because the more we can raise awareness and acceptance about this, the more, you know, people can learn, people can understand, the better things will be. In terms of support and things like that, I think we still do have quite a long way to go, which is why the strategy is so important, because it is a 10-year strategy and we're still very much in the early stages of that. So there is still a lot of work to be done, and I think everyone on the strategy group recognises that.
When you mentioned support, what kind of support do you mean there?
In terms of there's not really any support at all for autistic adults. So if you think you might be autistic, you can't yet access any kind of diagnosis pathway. That is currently on the 23rd and 24th of this month. It'll be in the Tynwald sitting. They're talking about a neurodiversity pathway. There's no real kind of, if you think you have it and you might want to access any kind of support at work, just understanding anything around and even finding information out about what might help you, that kind of service doesn't exist at the moment. In the last 12 months, me and my partner have been funding ourselves a peer support group where we've been inviting all people, all neurodivergent, so not just autism, but people with ADHD and that kind of stuff as well. So there's small things that are happening within the community, but it's very much community driven rather than kind of the steering group itself. And there are changes happening from the steering group. I know at Manx Care, you've got people like Pete Corkill, who's kind of gone out there, found out, like they did a survey last year in July to kind of get some information so they could better form, you know, changes in the health service. So we are seeing sort of people individually trying to get a little bit of information and a little bit of work out what support they can give, and it's about now collating that all down together and kind of getting it focused at a kind of national level rather than just individuals doing it here, there and all by themselves.
There have been improvements, I'd say, for younger neurodivergent people on Ireland. So CAMHS have been working through quite a backlog of diagnoses for neurodivergent children, which is really positive to see, and that is obviously great. But as Matt said, as the children, you know, as they grow up and they'll age out of CAMHS, there is no support really available at the moment for autistic adults on Ireland.
Moving on, a newly restored double-decker horse tram has helped kick off the 13th Isle of Man Beer and Cider Festival. Organisers arrived at the Villa Marina in Stal yesterday evening to mark a double celebration, the festival's return and the 150th anniversary of the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway. The event is also paying tribute to veteran driver Peter Cannon, who's marking half a century of service on the line. Andy Cowie is the chief engineer.
For you, what does it mean to see the double tram back on the line?
I'm absolutely delighted. We've been working on Tram 18 for about 12 months now, and the team have done an absolutely fantastic job. It's turned out, I think, better than original. Looks gorgeous.
What kind of work has had to go into it to get it to this stage?
It's a full rebuild, really. A lot of structural wood's been replaced, and the panels and all the paintwork and all the metalwork's been refurbished as well. So it's basically good as new.
And obviously this is kind of part of the Beer and Cider Festival as well. Is it nice to have that link together with that?
No, it's brilliant that Camera have recognised the significance of the 150th anniversary of the horse tramway this year, and it's a real pleasure to be part of their beer festival.
I'm sure many people will be wanting to know, are we going to see it regularly over the summer again?
Yes, we're saving it till the actual 150th anniversary launch, but it'll be out now and again, as appropriate, over the whole summer. It'll be brilliant.
And Peter was obviously meant to be here today.
Sadly he's been unable to join us. He was really looking forward to it as well, and it would have been really special to celebrate Peter's 50 years working on the horse trams as well, which is a really significant achievement. And we're delighted he's still helping out as well. I look forward to him coming back.
Yeah, it's a shame he couldn't be here, but it's nice that it was the 50 years for him and the 150 years for the trams, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really special date, isn't it? It's marvellous.
Darren Timson with that report. Time now for sport, and over to the sports desk where Rob Pritchard is sitting. Brought to you by the print shed Fastermy.
Fastermy, starting in football and defending Canada Life Men's Premier League champions Peel, could move to within 2 points of their current title rivals at the top as the latest Alaman football fixtures beckon this weekend. With current top flight leaders Corinthians not in action tomorrow, Peel are on the road at St Mary's, with the Westerners heading into Saturday 5 points adrift to Corinthians, but with 3 games in hand. Among the other Premier League meetings on Saturday, time is running out for both Foxdale and Douglas High School Old Boys in their fights for survival. Both will start the day 11 points and 9 points away from safety respectively. In Ardern and Drug Unlimited, Division 2 Colby remain 10 points clear at the top ahead of a home tie against Southern rivals Malou tomorrow. Elsewhere, second place Castletown head to Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, whilst Morar in third, 3 points behind Castletown but having played 3 games fewer, will host Douglas Royal. On Sunday, the Canada Life Women's League returns, including in the 3 upcoming matches. League frontrunners Peel will be hoping to keep up their 100% record away at Douglas Royal. And you can view a full schedule of this weekend's Alaban football fixtures at manxradio.com. Also in football, FC Alaban will be hoping for a change in fortunes on the road this weekend when they travel to face Charnock Richard in the NWCFL Premier Division. FC Alaban are yet to win in their 3 visits to Mossy Park so far. Charnock Richard on a good run that has seen them lose just 1 of their last 6. Tomorrow's game at Mossy Park, kicking off at 2 p.m. And in rugby, it's now or never this weekend for Douglas in their quest to get into the promotion playoffs in Regional 2 Northwest. What's more, they've got the toughest test there is right now in their final fixture of the regular season when they head to newly crowned league champions North Ribblesdale, with kickoff on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Elsewhere, Ramsey and Vagabonds are both at home in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire's Minor Conference League on Saturday. Ramsey welcome Ormskirk to Morag Park, whilst Vagabonds entertain Hoylake at Bala Fletcher. Also at Bala Fletcher tomorrow, Douglas Celts could secure this year's Hartford Homes Manx Shield title if they manage more than a point up against Western Vikings.
Thank you, Rob Pritchard, and he's here with Friday Sports Preview straight after this. Well, that's it for tonight's programme. Thank you to newsreader Amy Griffiths. And this looks like being the final time I present this programme. I first did so over a quarter of a century ago. Since then, the programme has been through a number of changes, be it content, the length of the show, or broadcast time. I'd just like to say it's been a privilege to be involved, and I'll miss the show when it's gone. So thanks to everyone who's listened or contributed. As I said, Rob Pritchard is here with Friday Sport straight after this. And if you want to download tonight's programme or any other programme that's broadcast on Manx Radio, you can do so by going to www.manxradio.com. Thanks for your company. Have a great weekend. Bye for now.
The thought of divorce can feel overwhelming, especially in regards to money. At Mann Benham Advocates, we understand your concerns and talk through options, ensuring you make informed and secure decisions.
Our expert team guide you through this process, focusing on achieving a fair settlement that prioritises your future and the needs of your children. Don't face this complex legal journey alone. Call Mann Benham today on 639 350 for a free, confidential initial consultation.
Oh, June, 1 minute we're roasting hot in the conservatory and the next minute we're freezing cold.
Well, missus, you know how a hat keeps you cool in the summer and warm in the winter? Well, a solid conservatory roof from Spectrum Windows does the same job.
Great solution. Tell you what, Geoffrey needs a little bit of work on top. Do you think they could help him too?
Only if they've started selling wigs.
Transform your conservatory with a Guardian or UltraFrame solid roof. Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777. Hampton.
Looking for an exciting new experience on the Isle of Man? Then step into the brand new Sorale Chocolate Making Workshop, where you become the chocolatier. Experience Sorale's premium quality hands-on. Taste, design, melt and fill your own luxury chocolates. Then take them home the very same day. Perfect for friends, families, date nights or special occasions. But hurry, spaces are limited. So book now at soralechocolate.im. Sorale Chocolate Workshop. Crafted with quality, made by you.
Big Red Storage in Tramode and Ronaldsway offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24/7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.im or call 640040.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-